Yo, what up, man? This is my quick reply, man. I'm trying to make this as quick as possible, man, because I got to go through everything that you broke down, man. Shout out the back of the bus, y'all. I'm going to put the link in the description so y'all can check out the show. This is just my reply because I got so much to say and it's too much to type. And he did expectations for Colorado, went into the history and everything. But I'm going to just start off with just the players. I'm going to just talk to players and then a little bit of something else, and then that's it, and I'm gone, all right? So, because I missed a live, and it was classic, right? So, you got the top 10 picks on the team that people are saying that might go in the top 10, and the draft is crazy because you can say that they're top 10, but when Coach Prime came out and said they're not going anywhere in the cold and they ain't going to certain teams, that narrows the teams down. I believe that I may have hurt them, right? A little bit, because what if those teams don't need them at that time? What if those teams don't need them at that time? What if they don't, you know what I mean? Because you said they ain't only going to certain teams. What if that team needs a Tyler Johnson more than a Shador? You know what I'm saying? What if they need a 3 technique before they need a Shador or a Travis, which is higher on a draft board? I mean, hands down, you want to say you got to take a Shador, but you like, man, I got this guy. He put up these numbers this year, but that right guard was just, nah, and this guy's available. You know what I'm saying? That's how the thing go. So that can be interchangeable. You know what I'm saying? That could be very interchangeable. So Shador being a first round pick, first top 10 pick, he got to throw for over 3,500. We know that's going to happen. That happens every year in college. These guys are putting up astronomical numbers every single season. So he got to show up and show out this year. And if he's going to throw for over 3,500, will they have a 1,000-yard rusher doing that in a Pat Shurmur pro-style type of offense? Will they have that? You know? They got to add some balance to that, because I don't care how good your offensive line is. You could have the best offensive line, but if you're going to drop back and throw for another 430 attempts plus, they're going to, you keep letting the defensive line pin their ears back, you're just making it easier. Care how good your offensive line is. I don't care how good they are. If you just letting it, if all the defensive line got to do is just line up and go get the quarterback, that is so easy. So easy. Make it super easy on them guys. Super easy. And that's all I really got to say about him, because Shador, other than that, Shador has the talent to do it. Has the talent to do it. One of the better quarterbacks in college football. Now, it all depends on how much he wins. I think he need at least 8 wins. At least 8. At least 8. That's all I'm going to say. At least 8. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Travis Hunter being a first round top 10 pick. I mean, it all depends. Like I said, it all depends, because a guy like, do I take a Travis Hunter before I take a Luther Burton, McMillan, Caleb Downs, guy from Michigan? I don't know. You know, these guys are surefire for sure. He's for sure too. But to me, better receiver than a cornerback. It's talked about his numbers. To me, that's just what I say. You know what I mean? And can Travis Hunter stay healthy? That may hurt him. That may drop him out of the top 10 because he hasn't had a full season yet in college football. Period. Now, first round picks. You're talking about Shiloh, Preston Hodge, BJ Green, DJ McKinney, and Khalil Benson. I did a video on Khalil Benson. The effort wasn't there. Didn't follow through on a lot of his blocks. Let up a lot of pressures. And pressures can be just as effective as a sack. Okay. It's not a sack. Like, let me say that again. Let me say that slower for the people who may clip it out and may criticize that. A pressure can be just as effective as a sack, right? Gets the quarterback off his mark, has to readjust his throw. It may even force a bad throw from a quarterback. The quarterback may have wanted to throw a back shoulder but now has to throw on the money, and that may not be for that route. A quarterback may have tried to throw high into the right, wind up being low into the left. You know what I mean? Could be a tip ball because of the pressure. Never know. Get his elbow hit, so forth and so on. So can be just effective, right? As far as that goes. But so, and then you look at a guy like Shiloh Sanders. Shiloh Sanders got a nagging shoulder injury that hasn't been attended to. And I think that's a dangerous thing because he's needed on that defense because of how much of how the leadership, the attitude, that the tenacity that he brings to that defense, right? That nagging shoulder injury. If I'm a running back and I know you got a nagging shoulder injury, or if I hurt, I'm trying that immediately. So the first time I get, even if I'm a bigger receiver, you try to tackle me and I notice that you favor in the shoulder, I'm going straight towards that shoulder. I'm going to make you lay put that shoulder on me. I'm going to tear that shoulder up the whole game. He may be able to survive that game, but how long is that shoulder going to hold up for the season? And I think they should have got that taken care of immediately when they found out. And they do got some guys to replace him, but Shiloh Sanders has, I think he, in order for that defense to be at its best, I think he has to be back there. That's just me. What y'all think? All right. Preston Hodge, he came over from a G5. I think it's easier for a defensive back, wide receiver, and a running back to make the transition from G5 to Power 5 than it is a defense or offensive lineman. That's just me. So Preston Hodge, he did great at his last school. I think that if he could come here and provide that same thing for Colorado, I think he'll be great. And in their wins, at least 8 wins, I think they need in order for some of these guys to be a first-round draft pick. I'll just put that disclaimer out there first so I don't have to keep repeating that. But the wins matter for Preston Hodge. If he could provide what he provided for his last team, I think he'll be good. B.J. Green is another one of those guys to where I think he'll provide because the size of him, height-wise and everything, you know, you're like, do we got everything that I really want, need, depending on scheme? And that's where a lot of this comes from, right? They come out of the first round. Or all these guys can't come out in the first round, dog. All these guys is just not, there's just too many colleges, too many schools. So they just have to be straight up dominant on the field. And I don't know. And BJ Green's a good edge. I think he's a good edge. And I think that he can be successful there. I really don't have an argument with BJ Green, okay? I think he's solid. DJ McKinney, when you talk about first round picks with him, I'm like, all right, cool. But why did he leave Oklahoma State University knowing that they were going to have, they are second in college football with a lot of returning players? They are the Big 12's last year's Michigan. They are the Big 12's this year's Georgia team. What do I mean by that? Let me explain. The Oklahoma State University has a lot of their players coming back, not just Ollie Gordon, not just Allen Bowman Jr. They got that O-line coming back. They got that D-line coming back. Why? Like, was he going to be a starter out there? You know what I mean? Was he really going to be a starter? Did he know that? Like, and then why would you leave us a situation to where, yeah, they're the favorite. They're one of the favorites to win. It's all up in the air. Like, to me, I think it's between 4 teams to win a Big 12. Colorado, just because the only reason is because all of the pickups out of the transfer portal and the new coaching staff. That's the only reason why they're not in my top to win the Big 12. But I know this don't really have nothing to do with it. But I'm talking about DJ McKinney. Why would you leave a team that's favored to win the Big 12? Oklahoma State University, Utah, West Virginia, Iowa State. You know, West Virginia lost their center to us, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers. But you're looking at these teams that are bringing back a lot of their guys, a lot of their important position guys. That's just not returning production. Somebody got 2 or 3 snaps. No, Oklahoma State University are bringing back guys, their guys, to team, to dominate. That's what it is. So I don't know why you would leave a situation like that to go to a questionable situation. So that's a question mark for me on how great he really truly is. I think at some point we'll see. All right. Tyler Johnson coming from over from Houston, even with him being one of the highly touted guys in the transfer portal. That was in the transfer portal at that time. How many offensive line guys, good offensive linemen, were in the transfer portal at that time? Where was his competition really at? Who was he faced up against? The one big question that I really honestly had about the offensive line that I really didn't hear too many people touch on is, why did Matthew Bedford leave? He played up in Indiana with Khalil Benson, who is the leader, who is looked at as being the leader on the offensive line, the heart and soul of the trenches up there in Colorado, played on alongside of him, and he left. He bounced on this guy like, I'm not playing up here in Colorado. There's a reason for that. But you look at Matthew Bedford and Khalil Benson, they're different players. If you ask me, in my opinion, from what I've seen, you correct me if I'm wrong, Matthew Bedford was there picking up some of that slack. But I think he was a better one. But it's just me. But Tyler Johnson about Houston left another good situation in Houston as being looked at for all this and that to go to another questionable situation. Why is that? That worries me. It's another one that worries me because he was set up there. No matter what their record was, you know what I mean? No matter what they're doing, if your offensive lineman and the defensive lineman that's mauling, you're going to get picked up. So he must believe in everything that's going on. Now, Jimmy Horn Jr., even though he's fast, runs 4.3, we seen him at his best last year. We seen him at his worst last year. We seen him go through a slump. He got to be producing. And for a lot of people to say what he's going to do this year and how he's going to perform, why would you go and get all those other receivers? Jarvis Landry, Jamar Chase, when you got guys like that on your defense, Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase as your receivers at LSU, you don't go pick up four more receivers. You might go and get a couple of four-star, five-star high school recruit receivers for those guys to bring up, but you don't go and go literally grab competition out of the portal to replace them. So how much faith did the coach really have in the receivers that were already up there at Colorado to go and grab a LaJonte Wester, Amara Miller, Will Shepard, baby T.O. Russell? How much? How much? Were they about to be running seven receivers on the field at the same time? Worries me. That's all I'm saying. That's my question. All right. LaJonte Wester proving himself over that Florida Atlantic. Got nothing to say. As long as he can provide what he provided over there at Florida Atlantic, he'll be good at Colorado. Can't have no argument there. Justin Mears from UTEP, G5 player, offensive line. Like I said, G5 in the trenches. Any level in the trenches concern me because of the level of competition. Because not every guy they're going to face is going to be an NFL talent. They're looking at contributors and looking at developers and contributors, or who you're going against. And even if you were a blue chip prospect coming out of high school, going into a grown man or a young man, grown man type of deal at college in the G5, they probably went there because they want to start right away. They want to see the field right away. That's why you get a guy like I can't remember the other guy that came in with Brandon Davis Swan, but they go over to a Georgia Southern because they want to see the field right away. High 4-5 star blue chip recruits want to get on the field right away, and they don't really want to sit for 1 year and develop at a good developmental school, good power five. They go to a G5 to start right away and then wind up playing and exposing themselves as being inexperienced and wind up being ranked as a 3-star or a 2-star or something. You know what I mean? So, you know, he's proven himself so far. But just got to keep that in mind. UTEP, prove me different. Prove me different. Question mark. Worried about that. Concerns me. All right. Deion Hayes from Pitt played on a horrible Pitt team. They beat Louisville all because of defense. They kept the pressure on him, turned over. He caused havoc. It's a good player. Really can't question him out. I want to see what he does on a good team and when he's getting the help. But also, Deion Hayes did have the proper help on that defensive line from Pitt, too. So can Colorado's another question I have right now is, can Colorado's defense of tackles and the three techs play as good as Pitt's did to give Deion Hayes, Sam Okanola a chance to shine like they did over at Pitt? Because all of those guys got to be cohesive, one unit, in order for a guy to play. Now, one guy gets to shine. One guy gets to shine, but it's all a collaborative effort out of all the defensive linemen. You agree? Nakai Hill-Green coming over from New Mexico. Him, in my opinion, it's another G5 guy. Was he across in the wide nine or the seven from a NFL caliber type offensive tackle? Or was it just another contributor developmental type of guy that he was over every week? Was he challenged enough? Was he challenged enough? That's my only thing. So, question mark. This your talent? And, okay, so with big talent comes things, okay? So, that's what I'm saying. The punter is a punter. As long as he keep booting that thing for corner coffin, pinning them underneath the 20, the 10, first rounder, there you go. Can't argue that. Think that's solid. Tyler Brown, being one of the strongest players, just sat out a whole year due to the NCAA. Not because of him, not because of injuries. Healthy, works out, works hard, strong, and everything. But if you're the strongest player, you should have been solidified back then. Shouldn't have been a question mark about any of these newcomers coming in that don't have that or question marks starting over you. If you're really the strongest player, that's just me. Now, you could be very, very strong. Very strong. Strongest man can still probably get knocked out by Roy Jones. Just because you're strong don't really mean nothing. Do you have everything else? Footwork? But we haven't seen that out of him in the game situation just yet. Just haven't seen him. So really can't speak on that. But that's the one thing I would have to say. Just because you're the strongest player does not mean that you'll have it, but that's all I'm saying. I'm just giving my opinion. I think he did a great job breaking it down. Great job. And it was very interesting. Trevor Woods being Urlacher. And that's what Coach Prime said. You know what I'm saying? That's what Coach Prime said. I think that's a little far-fetched, but he is one of the greatest. He is a great man, if not the greatest man on that defense. One of the top great minds on that defense. His awareness is uncanny. So what he lacks in footwork, speed, makes up for in a man knowing where the ball is going to be and how to break that down, how to cut angles. And that's what the pros is all about. So you don't got to be the fastest guy, but you got to understand how to take that angle to get that guy down. And I think Trevor Woods has that down to a science. I don't know why a lot of Colorado fans don't like Trevor Woods. I think he's very smart. And that's why when you move him from safety, if he's not going to start at safety, you got to put him somewhere on that defense. He is too smart not to play. And when you're comparing, when a head coach and coaches are saying that he's like Urlacher, it's because of his awareness. Brian Urlacher's awareness was crazy. And Trevor Woods is very aware of what's going on the field. I don't understand why they would be so hard on him, or why you guys are so hard on Trevor Woods, because I think he's very smart and he got to be on the field. And if he ain't going to be on the field, then you need to give him a damn headphone so he can be teaching somebody else what the hell's going on. That's all I got to say about that one. All right. The potential draft picks like Torian Carter. Do you got this experience? I know where you came from, coming from over there. Was it Arkansas, I believe. You got the experience from Arkansas. One thing to come out the SEC, Arkansas wasn't that great of a team. They wasn't. Let's just call it what it is. And not to be a starter on that team and to be a backup at that team. And then you and granted, SEC is deep at those positions, granted. But still, didn't see the field. And that's just like another guy like Quincy Wiggins didn't see the field on a bad. And you wouldn't even say that that was one of a good LSU defense. Would y'all say that LSU defense was good last year? Was a backup on that team. Got to keep that in mind. He got the size, the measurables. He definitely got the measurables. Does he have the athletic ability? Is he right now going to be a starting edge on that team? I don't even think they're looking at him to be a starting edge on that team right now. I think he's a depth piece on that team. In Colorado, I think he's a depth piece in Colorado. Yeah, for real. That's question mark. Worries me. That's all I'm saying. Shane Coates played last year. Did decent. Could have played a lot better. Wasn't consistent enough. In a weird way, though, like just was always like, if he was getting double team, right? Somebody else should have been there. I think he did his job, played to the best of his abilities. But is he going to be a starter this year or is he a depth piece? Right? Was definitely a starter last year. And if another inexperienced guy come in and take his spot, what that really say, you know, that's all I'm saying. And that happens a lot. I'm seeing on the team. And it's just what I'm saying. All right. Now, Ryan Buell, I think out of all the newcomers, he got the most on-field experience out of all the newcomers on the, in the trenches off the defensive tackle three technique side. Right. I know for, yeah, he got more than McNeil and he played another G5 guy that played in the MAC. And his stats were misleading because when you watch the games, he was there one game, five tackles, three sacks, could be like a Youngstown State. Then he go play somebody else like Buffalo and he disappeared in a game like Buffalo. Then you play another guy and you disappear. You know what I mean? Then you disappear the next game. Wasn't consistent, but still has the most experience at three tech other than the other guys. But I will say this in defense of him. They noticed how effective he can be and how much havoc he was causing. So offenses picked up on him. Once they had film on him, they knew how to neutralize him. And that worries me. That's all I'm saying. Levante Bentley. You got to talk about a guy like Levante Bentley. I think he's good. I thought he took a lot of flack from last year, but I don't think that if he'd probably be on the field. I think he's looked at to being on the field more than anybody else. But he's one of these potential type of guys, right? Potential draft pick type of guys. And I think he took a lot of flack. I think that he was a solid last year. Second leading tackler on the team, Sash Shiloh, stepped up. In some games, once he got it rolling in the games he was in, I think they just didn't keep him in there long enough. And obviously there were some things that they didn't like and they didn't see, which worries me. And I think that comes with the inexperience, you know what I'm saying, at that level or whatever. Now with the coaching staff has a lot of NFL experience. They have some college experience and ways like the offensive line. I think the offensive line just needs another year, not this year, but next year. If that same staff is there dealing with those guys, I think the offensive line will improve tremendously next year. I think it's still early of him being there, Lohart being there with those guys this year. Now, will he pick it up? He can't pick it up. He's been proven out there in Oklahoma with the Sooners to work with those guys, being an analyst and bringing in some pretty good talent in that area. So he can get that done, right? That's a fact. Now, but the defensive coordinator, Robert Livingston, was the defensive back coach for the Cincinnati Bengals. And he has no college experience and calling plays. It's not easy. And it's the shot caller. See, the position coaches get them ready for the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, I believe, give the position coaches schemes and assignments and things to work on that fit their scheme for the offense or the defense, you know? So, for example, to explain what I'm talking about, if the offensive coordinator needs his lineman to do zone blocking, then he's telling the position coaches, the offensive line coach, that I need them working on zone blocking for, I don't, half an hour out of practice. I need them doing these type of drills because they'll be applying this in the game. I need them doing zone blocking drills because they'll be zone blocking during the game. I need my linebacker being able to need them to get their speed up because I'm going to need my outside linebacker covering the flats or whatever, you know what I mean? So just getting them ready. The OC and DC just tells the position coaches and they got to be on one accord with that, right? And an in-game experience, making those adjustments is different from the NFL because in the NFL, you got pros to rely on. You got professionals. You have a big depth chart. You got 1, 2, and 3. And I think they're trying to build that here, but you got that, right? You got a lot of depth, another pros coming up. Another pro guy been taking care of body, so forth and so on. Don't have that here. Don't have that at the college level. Got a guy that you need to develop. You got a starter. You got a guy that could be a starter that I need to develop. And you got a guy that needs a little bit more developed than both of them. So that's my only thing I got to say about that. But other than that, I want y'all to, I just was replying because I had too much to type. And I want y'all to go check out the back of the bus because good content over there, great content over there, great breakdown. Great job of doing that. Want to give it to you one more time. And y'all already know, man, about how I'm giving it up out here. Shout out to Rawhide Media, man. I missed it live. But hopefully I could be in the next one, man. Salute to y'all. But y'all know how I'm giving it up. Peace.
Want to see Truck and Chubby live and co-host Shad? Tune in at Fans Point of View. Saturday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3:30 p.m. Pacific Time. But in the meantime, in between time, enjoy the content. Don't forget to hit your notification bell for all updates. Thank you for watching.